Those used car prices are drifting down. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The consensus of forecasters is that inflation eased a tad last month, which should show up in the official Consumer Price Index due tomorrow morning. To start this week, let's consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been doing oil prices just about every day. They are not what they were earlier this year. Is that the only reason we might see some easing in the official inflation rate tomorrow?
No, we have other reasons for optimism. Things like used cars, for example. Wholesale prices are falling, and so we're looking to see whether that translates into declining retail prices for consumers.
And if tomorrow the Consumer Price Index comes in less than expected, would that be enough, do you think, to ward off the big interest rate increase that the Fed has been telegraphing for next week?
Probably not for next week. There has been a parade of Fed officials that seem to suggest that they are going to do another very large 75 basis point hike.
And back to your first point about used car prices. So if you're shopping, you can now go in with some attitude?
Definitely. For both used and new car prices, where inventories are starting to slowly improve, if you can't delay, you can certainly try your hand at bargaining.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Now, mortgages are up early this week. 30-year fixed rates are at 6.08%. 20-year rates are weirdly higher than 30, 6.13 there. These are the highest since just before the 2008 financial crisis, when people were still buying real estate like mad. Now, they could have called it an exciting color, like electric blue or hot pink, but no, it's the Federal Reserve and what they call the Beige Book surveys, the 12 regional economies that make up our central banking system. The reports are anecdotal. Hey, it's the Fed. How's it going at your factory kind of stuff? And the regional variations can be interesting, including demand for business loans. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Many businesses have been thinking twice about borrowing because interest rates are rising. For instance, the Federal Reserve Banks of Richmond and Chicago reported that higher rates have helped to slow demand for commercial loans, at least a bit. The banks also cited economic uncertainty. Lenders I spoke with said many clients are nervous about the future, even if business is good today. Thing is, other Federal Reserve banks said loan demand in their districts is up, including the banks of Cleveland, Atlanta, and San Francisco. Some business owners in those districts are borrowing now so that they can lock in rates before they rise more. But others are borrowing to expand because they're feeling optimistic. Overall, these kinds of differences suggest that local economies have been recovering at different speeds and that the growing economy has a lot of soft patches. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to Britain, where so much attention is on the monarchy. Here, we'll do the monarchy and the economy, where there's news the British economic activity at least wasn't contracting in the middle of the summer. It went up slightly in July, 0.2%. A month earlier, the British economy shrank, in part due to the loss of 2 working days for the Queen's Jubilee celebration, but the mood is now of mourning. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, joins us from London. Hey.
Good morning, David.
These figures today, though, are not necessarily representative of a sudden improvement in the UK economy.
No, that's right. The slight pickup is due in part to a pickup in the leisure and hospitality sector when the UK hosted the Women's Soccer Euros Championship games during the month. During that time, pubs were packed, people were throwing parties. Generally, the mood was pretty cheerful, and because of that, spending picked up. All of that, though, has changed markedly, especially in the last week with Queen Elizabeth's death last Thursday. Events, meetings, activities, they've all been canceled out of respect. Even the Bank of England's planned interest rate decision this week has been postponed. That would have seen interest rates on Thursday go to their highest level since 2008.
All right, but they'll take that decision next week. Now, on this point about Queen Elizabeth's funeral taking place a week from today, there'll be an extra day off, a bank holiday, you call it.
Yeah, and then that's going to be followed by a week of mourning in this country. And all of that has an impact on how and when people spend their money. Sam Toombs, he's an economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics here in London, says, though, the effects of that will likely be temporary.
Fundamentally, still households' balance sheets look like they're in good shape. Many households still have savings that they accumulated during the pandemic, which they haven't yet spent. And businesses, too, also are still looking fairly upbeat. When you look at their investment plans, most still are planning for growth over the next year or so.
So, David, he said whether the economy tips into a recession is still a question mark, but he expects that if it does, it's likely to be a mild one.
Victoria, you've spent time reporting on this, but King Charles III will begin his reign in a UK economy that is fundamentally changed from the time of his mother's ascent to the throne. I mean, Britain was still a colonial power in the early 50s, but so much else has changed.
Yeah, the economy has changed quite a bit. With credit to the Financial Times, they have done a lot of number crunching and have some fascinating charts showcasing just how much change there's been here in the last seven decades. Trade, for example, has pivoted from Commonwealth countries like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, a slew of African nations, to Western and Eastern European ones, the U.S. and China. Those are also big trade partners now. And overall, David, the economy was the third largest in the world. It's now sixth largest.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig in London, thank you.
Thanks, David.
The S&P and the NASDAQ are now both up more than 1%. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.